welcome to your outlet for outdoors and Western lifestyle news, The Ben Show. I am your host, Rebecca Warner, a.k.a. Beck, and you know we love hearing from all of you. Your comments, your stories, your ideas, get a hold of us anytime. Call or text 305-900-2363. Again, that's 305-900-2363. Or you can always email benradioshow@gmail.com. Ride along, as always, each and every week, is my co-host and producer, Jeff Tigger Earhart. Now, I do want to bring up this quick topic because just yesterday, I had this conversation with a friend who travels quite a bit like I do, and she brought up, and we talked about this a few episodes ago, how she is having flight anxiety.
It's more and more people are having that, aren't they?
I was surprised. And the statistic right now, we had talked about it earlier, hasn't changed, is about 40% of Americans right now are having flight anxiety because of some of the crashes that happened earlier this year. But I'm still here to tell you that flying is safer than driving these days.
I don't get anxiety from worrying about if the plane is going to crash or something like that. It's more of the anxiety of going through security, even though we are TSA pre-approved.
Well, you are one of those. I'm going to throw you under the bus, and I don't know why this happened. So I'd like you to explain to us this to me, because when I go to TSA, when I go through it, I love having pre-check. Believe me, it's the best money spent, especially if you travel a couple of times a year. And if you get your TSA pre-check, it lasts for multiple years. But here's the deal I find with you, Tigger, is as soon as we start to walk up to that line, you kind of get a little puffed up and you're just kind of on edge. Why?
I don't get puffed up.
You don't think so?
No, I don't get puffed up.
But I can tell that you are, your mood changes.
But I have had issues, though, going through security where I have had, where you take your wallet out and things like that and you lay that there. I have had it happen where that little basket got hung up and everything spilled under the machine. There's my ID that's under there. There's my money that's under there. And they don't stop the process, at least at this one airport where I was like, can I at least get my ID to verify who I was?
Okay.
So I have had bad luck like that happen. Okay. Since we're on this topic, the other thing is with TSA pre-check, I can wear my lid because I've always
got this cowboy hat.
I've always got a hat on, right? Well, I don't like it when people will take it from me and they just slam it into a basket or something like that, and they don't put it upside down.
Okay,
I've always said, please be careful with that. That's more expensive than people's laptops.
There are few outside of the Western world that understand the cowboy etiquette when it comes to your hat. Yeah. I will give that.
Right.
There's a lot of folks that want to wear one to a concert and have fun.
That's great.
But they don't realize that some of us have invested a lot of dollars.
They're custom-made.
Yes.
And that's why. And I think just because those of us that do wear lids, wear cowboy hats when we travel, I would say we tend to get picked on more than not when it comes to a random search.
I'm going to actually agree with you. And this also happens, though. I see this more with those of us, and I wear a cowboy hat too, so not saying I don't, but when I go through TSA, I do tend to see, even through the pre-check line, the whole forgetting to take the belt off because you got a belt buckle on it, okay?
Right.
That automatically flags you,
I don't know why you think I get bowed up all the time.
Right. But Tigger, this is something I've been trying to help you, and this will help the rest of you too, is when we go through TSA, Tigger and I both are carrying usually a backpack. We're usually carrying a backpack. Why? Because it fits easily up above in the storage as well as slides under a seat easily. But this is the biggest tip I can tell you. I tell my mom before we get on a plane, everybody, you take your ID, you take your phone, you put all of that in that first pocket of your backpack or whatever you're traveling with. That way then, it's not going to get lost. It's not going to flip out of a container.
Right.
It's not going to be left behind.
Right.
Just put everything in one location on your backpack or your carry-on, and you can quickly get to it as soon as you're through that TSA line. Nobody says you can't have a bag.
And empty your pockets before.
Please.
You know, even if you're not TSA pre-check, just empty your pockets of everything. And I started doing that regardless that we're TSA pre-check. I just empty all of my pockets. I just car keys, all of that. I just put it in the backpack and try to go through smoothly, which never happens. I still get checked, but Anyhow, there you go.
Well, to make it fair, though, before we change topics, I'm going to throw myself under the bus, though, because I am one of those that kind of gets, not road rage, but gets the same type when I'm going through TSA check lines, when I sit there going, come on, people, we've known the rules for years. Let's go. Let's go. Keep
moving.
Somebody
else gets a little bowed up. So we're great to travel with is what we're saying. We're both mad about something. All right.
All right.
What else you got?
Let's kick off some news for everybody. Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks is encouraging antler shed hunters. We were talking about antler shed hunting last episode. Here's another state where you need to register early for the upcoming antler hunting season. Vehicle registration opened back on April 1st for access to the Blackfoot Clearwater Wildlife Management Area. Last year, changes were made to prevent congestion and improve safety, and this year, additional adjustments are based on lessons learned. The registration period is going to run through April 19th, so if you're thinking about heading up that way to do some shed hunting, make sure you're registering your vehicle by April 19th, and the list will be randomized, so you're going to have to stay when you want to be attending and going into said areas. And those of you, though, that plan to go by bike, foot, maybe you're going to ride your horse in, you do not need to register. This is just for those with vehicles. But then here's the other side note. Anyone 12 or under must have a conservation license to enter these wildlife management areas.
You know, speaking of license, here, when was it, last week or week after, something like that, I jumped online and we filled out the lottery to get drawn for bighorn, elk, and moose in our state where we live. And I even texted a buddy of mine like 2 minutes before midnight and said, Joel, get on there, you know, get your lottery in. And this is proof your phone listens to you, because the next day on my Facebook feed, look at this. I got this scrolled up. I took a screenshot of it. This is a bighorn sheep hunt for two in Alberta, Canada, on sale for $145,000.
Woo! Tell me this is going to a charity or something.
No, $145,000 guided. It's got the hunt dates, everything that's on it. It does not include your airfare or anything like that. It is just, and it's not guaranteed you're going to get nothing either. $145,000 to hunt bighorn sheep.
Sorry, we don't have those kinds of funds, honey.
Apparently we don't.
But we're going to be talking more about bighorn sheep later in the show.
Yes, I've got a whole little quiz lined up for you, actually.
Ooh, I can't wait
on bighorn. To how well you know your bighorn sheep hunting, just in case one of us would actually get drawn in our lifetime.
Okay, I love this. I love this. All right, next one on my list to talk about quick, because we are into April, and many folks may not realize this, but bears are coming out of hibernation right now. And as spring has arrived, I'm hearing from outlets from New England, up in the New England area, Massachusetts, all the way to Tennessee, to Florida, to Yellowstone, and of course, Glacier National Parks. They're all sending out warnings that these bears are emerging from hibernation. They are hungry and they are ready to forage. Think about this. After months of dormancy, these black bears and grizzly bears are seeking food to regain their energy, which may bring them closer to human populated areas. That's what I'm getting at.
Bears beats Battlestar Galactica.
Yes, Dwight Schrute from The Office here in studio with
love
us.
Love that episode.
Well, anyway, I just want everyone to be bear aware, okay? Especially when you're traveling to these other areas.
Hey, Beck, bear doll. Throw it to break.
I will always have the right to bear arms. How's that one? All right. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're talking more about bighorn sheep. You're listening to The Ben Show.
The hunt. The stories, the memories. This is Jake Fenrick with JB's Wildlife Designs. Let me capture and preserve that hunt, that story, that memory with a trophy mount to last you a lifetime. Look us up on Facebook at JB's Wildlife Designs to see samples of our taxidermy and reach out at any time with any and all questions you may have. This is Jake Fenrick with JB's Wildlife Designs. Taxidermy is my passion. Let me preserve yours.
I'm just sitting out here watching airplanes.
Country Music's Gary Allen.
Take off.
Live in concert Thursday, May 15th at the world-famous Miles City Bucking Horse Sale in Miles City, Montana. One of country music's hottest performers with special guest, Tiger Lily Gold.
Two tequila.
Tickets on sale now at buckinghorsesale.com. Gary Allen with special guest Tiger Lily Gold at the world-famous Mile City Bucking Horse Sale in Mile City, Montana.
You've waited, dreamt of a hunting adventure, and now have harvested that trophy of a lifetime. Keep the memory alive with a custom-designed mount preserved as a work of art. Check out our approved taxidermist. Depending on your location, the award-winning Schneider Taxidermy is located in Helena, Montana. When hunting the Dakotas, JB's Wildlife Designs in Mandan, North Dakota, then Shadron Creek Taxidermy in Nebraska, and for the Central USA, Little Rack Taxidermy in Macomb, Illinois. Reach out to the Ben Show and let us help you find the right taxidermist. Welcome back to your outlet for outdoors and Western lifestyle, The Ben Show. I am your host, Rebecca Warner, a.k.a. Beck. Riding along shotgun, as always, my co-host, Jeff Tigger Earhart. And as you heard previously at the beginning of the show, Tigger has bighorn sheep on the brain.
I'm hoping I get lucky with the lottery.
Yes, he is hoping he gets lucky.
So I do have a question. I had mentioned just a few minutes ago that I saw it on a Facebook feed. An outfitter in Alberta, Canada was selling a bighorn hunt for two for $145,000.
No, we don't have the money.
So my question is, though, if you would by chance, and I do even have it calculated what the percentage of chance is that we could get drawn, would you be tempted to sell that hunt? Because
no.
That has been done before in our state, that people have sold that hunt.
They have sold it, but it typically is sold or done in an auction for a charity.
Oh.
That's typically where I've seen that done, okay?
Oh, not
you
for,
know, somebody
for a for-profit
donated
organization.
It.
Okay.
Right, right. So
I
got drawn, I'm sorry, honey, I'm busy. I'm going to be booked during that season.
Okay, I hope you get drawn. Here, I'm going to test your knowledge of bighorn sheep and bighorn sheep hunting. Okay.
Okay.
First question is, a group of bighorn sheep is called a herd, a flock, or a gathering?
Ah, this one, I can see where it messes with a lot of people because you hear sheep, you think flock, but really, I know they're called a herd.
Correct.
Thank you.
They're called a herd. Okay. Which state is known for having the largest bighorn sheep? Montana, Idaho, or Colorado?
I feel this one is kind of a tricky one because where I have seen the most bighorn sheep in my travels has been right on the Montana-Idaho border. So I'm going to actually say Idaho.
No, Montana.
Oh,
it's
was Montana.
Because three of the top five Rocky Mountain bighorn sheep recorded by the Boone and Crockett Club over the last 3 years have come from a single small area in Montana called Wild Horse Island. It sits just off of the western shore of Flathead Lake, which you know you've been to that area.
I've been to Flathead Lake.
Okay,
yes.
It's yielded some of the largest Rocky Mountain bighorn sheep in recorded history, which, by the way, putting all of this together, I actually took a fair amount of time researching this. Everything from, you know, Realtree.com to all of these different hunting sites and the Boone and Crockett Club. So I that's where I kind of gathered all this information from, by the way. Okay.
Well, that does make sense. I'm going to jump in because, say, whenever I go to national parks, this is always the biggest thing. Don't forget the binoculars.
Yes.
But especially if you go up to, say, Glacier National Park and you are, say, traveling there by car, your vehicle, whatnot, bring along the spotting scope. I'm telling you, this is where when you as a tourist bring your spotting scope, because I've been traveling in vehicles, like say you are driving going to the Sun Road, you pull off, and then when you use that spotting scope, you can really see the bighorn sheep in the most unbelievable locations, how they got there on the sides of these mountains. I have no idea, but it's fun to find them.
True or false, bighorn sheep males and females will live in the herd together.
I'm going to say true.
False. Bighorns live in social groups, but the rams and the ewes typically will only get together when they mate. The rams live in bachelor groups, and usually those bachelor groups will contain 5 to 50 rams all at one time. Wouldn't that be incredible seeing like 50 rams? And all of the ewes, they are in groups of maybe like 5 to 100.
So it's very similar then to our deer, for example.
Very similar to deer.
Talk about, you know, oh, the bucks are still in their bachelor groups. It's not the rut season yet. So that makes sense. And about 2 years ago, I was at Yellowstone right up at the Gardner the Gardner entrance in Montana, if you're familiar with that was. And that was unbelievable. There was a herd of all rams, and there was about 12 of them. And that was the coolest thing, just walking alongside the road.
And it's a herd, not a flock. Okay, true or false, bighorn sheep and mountain goats will mate?
I'm going to say false.
False. Different species typically have reproductive barriers that prevent them from successfully interbreeding, even if they share the same habitat, which they will at many times with mountain goats. Very good. Okay, now, what are the four species of sheep in what is called a grand slam in sheep hunting? This is a little bit of a tricky one.
Okay, this is a hard one, and I know I'm not going to get them all. I know, of course, there's going to be the Rocky Mountain bighorn sheep. There's going to be the desert bighorn sheep.
Correct.
And then there's the stone sheep, which is further up in Canada. I think like British Columbia area.
I don't know.
I'm trying to think what the fourth one would be. You got
doll sheep.
Doll sheep.
Doll sheep. They're found in like Alaska, you know, the Northwest Territories. But yes, there are four that are in the what they call the Grand Slam, and there is even a Grand Slam Club. It was founded in 1956. Fewer than 1,400 people worldwide have achieved the North American Sheep Grand Slam, getting all four species. Now, of those four species, which one is considered the most expensive in terms of dollars and cents to go hunt?
I would say I'm thinking the desert bighorn sheep.
The desert bighorn sheep is considered the most expensive. Well, apparently not, according to what I said earlier, about $145,000 for two Rocky Mountain. But, you know, there you go. Okay, so my last question is this. You and I, we said the chances of getting a tag to get a license for a bighorn sheep in the state where we're at. So do you know, in the year 2024, because they haven't calculated it yet for 2025, obviously, how many people applied yet and how many licenses will be granted. But last year, in our state, do you know how many people applied for tags?
Actually, I think it's a pretty big number. For some reason, I was thinking the number, because ours is usually you apply for an elk, you apply for a bighorn sheep, and you also apply for moose. Because in our state, they are once-in-a-lifetime tags. So I'm going to say it's like 30,000.
20,000.
Okay.
19,889 applicants last year in 2024. Seven licenses is what were granted. So if you do the math on that, based on those numbers, Beck, we have a 0.035% chance of one of us getting drawn for a bighorn license in our state. 0.035%. Not even a half of a percent, a third of a percent.
So you're saying that we are going to be continuing to donate as a good fundraiser to
that's
our
exactly
local
what
game
I'm,
and fish.
What I'm telling you. But I have had good friends, good buddies that I used to rodeo with that they have two of the four species of the Grand Slam. And that that's what Nevada is going after.
That's awesome.
That's what my buddy, he's going after that.
That is awesome. Well, I will tell you that, yes, if I ever get drawn, it's not going to be for sale. Yes, we're going on said hunt. And then secondly, we're going to have to be looking at adding onto this cabin because I'm going to want a full body mount. I want the whole sheep. Yes, I want it taxidermied.
Holy smokes. By the time you have the full sheep and I have the full gator,
we need
it's
a new
like
cabin.
Wild America in the cabin here where we live.
All right, crew, we're going to take a short break. You're listening to The Ben Show.
Hey, guys and gals, this is John Armand with Ultimate Outdoor Adventures TV. Ultimate Outdoor Adventures TV travels the back roads to the backwaters in pursuit of the ultimate adventure in hunting and fishing. Join Team UOA every week for exciting action in the crosshairs of the outdoors. Catch Ultimate Outdoor Adventures TV on YouTube, Amazon Prime, and make sure to follow Team UOA on Facebook and Instagram to share in the ultimate outdoor adventure.
Is there that particular pair of boots or that shirt or pair of jeans that you just can't find anywhere else? Check out Medora Boot and Western Wear. Medora Boot and Western Wear is the go-to for boots, jeans, especially jackets, and even those hard-to-find accessories that make perfect gifts. Check out MedoraBoot.com, or better yet, give Kim a call at 701-623-1005 and tell Kim that Tigger and Beck sent you. For the latest in Western and outdoor practical and fashionable wear, there is only one: Medora Boot and Western Wear.
Get ready for the thrill of a lifetime. The world-famous Miles City Bucking Horse Sale is back, featuring one of the largest one-day match bronc riding events. Join us Sunday, May 18th at the fairgrounds for a PRCA-sanctioned spectacle where over 30 elite bronc riders compete for a massive $50,000 purse. Plus, add to the excitement with paramutual wagering. Visit buckinghorsesale.com for full schedule and tickets. The world-famous Miles City Bucking Horse Sale, where the spirit of the West comes alive.
Welcome back to the Bench Show. All right, here's a topic that crossed my mind the other day, and it was regarding all of us getting excited to do our travels, and maybe some of us are going out of the country. And looking back at personal experiences, realize I've never talked about this, and that is your food and water hygiene. Right now you're sitting there going, what? What are you talking about? I'm talking about that, how in a lot of other countries when you travel, they don't tend to wash their vegetables as well as we do. And then there's also that, how do I say it? Our bodies aren't always used to all the microbes that are in other countries.
The bacteria.
Yep. So I've seen people get sick, as well as myself, even from drinking the water.
I got sick when I was in the Philippines. You know that. I got sick from drinking the water.
I got sick in Mexico from drinking. Oh, I didn't drink it. I just used it to brush my teeth.
And you got sick from that? From just brushing your teeth?
Montezuma's revenge.
Hello.
Let me simply put it that way.
So you should always drink bottled water, is what I'm going to say, when you are traveling abroad.
100%. That is something I do whenever I leave our country. It is bottled water. Even now at hotels, resorts, areas like that, I will use bottled water to brush my teeth with if I'm not in the United States.
So I got a question for you. You're going on an Alaskan cruise with your family in a few months. Are you going to just have bottled water?
Yes.
On the cruise ship? You will.
Yes.
Even though it's gone through its distillation or whatever process and been purified and all that, you still just bottled water. You won't drink it out of the tap.
Well, okay, let me...
On the cruise ship is where I'm talking about.
Let me rephrase this. Okay, if it comes out of the machine that's, say, like a fountain pot machine, that and they have water sometimes run through that, I will drink it out of there.
Okay, but not like the faucet in your cabin.
Correct.
Gotcha.
There, I don't. However, I've never heard of somebody getting sick, personally. I'm just saying it's just my comfort level after having been sick before.
Because you got sick. Right, I gotcha.
And then especially when you're traveling out of the country, when you think about your fresh vegetables and your fruits and some of that stuff, which is the most enticing about going to some of these other areas,
well,
is
sure,
to try these foods. You really need to be careful, especially when you think of diseases like typhoid fever that you could catch.
Now, didn't your cousin get typhoid fever?
Yes, yes. My cousin, she's one of my best friends. A couple of years ago, she was in Costa Rica. They had rented a house that actually came with a lady that would go and shopping and cook for them. Well, she ended up coming back to the United States with typhoid fever, and she was so sick. They figure it's from a salad that maybe wasn't washed very well is how she got it. But she lives in the city of Seattle, and actually the CDC quarantined her and her husband to their house. He did not ever catch it, but she was actually quarantined for quite some time, and it was a very, very bad sickness. I mean, she had issues with light sensitivity, everything. So.
And typhoid fever, by the way, is a bacterial infection. It's spread through, like you said, contaminated food or water.
Yes. So I just wanted to bring that up, that when you're traveling, we did all learn how to, thanks to the pandemic, carry along hand sanitizers and such like that. This is when you need to heighten that safety again, is when you leave the country, is to think about before you order that beautiful salad fruit platter to maybe make sure that you eat some really cooked foods instead.
And I'm going to echo that when it comes to your meats, make sure that you order them. Or my recommendation is that you order them, like I like medium rare, but order them, you know, medium or well done or something like that, because it could be a different preference in a gauge in a different part of the world that you go to. Make 100%. Sure those meats are fully cooked.
I totally agree on that comment right there too, because Tigger and I tend to like our hamburgers to our steaks. We like a medium rare, but I'm going to tell you right now, once you leave the United States, you're traveling, even in the United States, sometimes depending on what that restaurant looks like, I've learned now you got to order it done.
A little bit more than what you normally would. You actually got sick a couple times in addition to the whole toothpaste incidents.
Yeah, I've had food poisoning twice now just from undercooked meats. So please, just be a little aware. We want you to be having fun on your trips this year. So the takeaways were: drink bottled water, wash thoroughly those fresh fruits and vegetables, and if you're ordering a burger, make sure they do it medium or well done. Don't chance it. And that's it for this week. We're going to call this show wrapped, folks. Thank you again for riding along with us. And as always, if you have any questions or maybe you have something spot-worthy for us to share, your thoughts or comments on anything, call or text us anytime, 305-900-2363. Again, that's 305-900-2363. Or you can always email BendRadioShow@gmail.com. And if you missed part of this show or want to hear past episodes, you can find them all at our website, TheBendShow.com. Be sure to subscribe on your favorite podcasting app and to The Bend Show YouTube channel. Finally, a big thanks to all of you listeners that came along again this week. And whether you're coming or going today, stay with us as we ranch it up. And remember to keep up with me back all week long by following The Bend on Facebook and on Instagram at The Bend Show. This is Rebecca Warner. Catch back if you can next week on The Bend.